Welcome back to Ecclesiastes 7. This is the B-side. I love the B-side. It always feels like a secret hideout for me and my friends. Don't worry, they'll never find us in here. Hey, wait a second. Who's at the door? Oh no, A-siders. Everybody scram. Something like that. Anyway, this is part 4 in our B-side series on modern philosophy and what the Bible has to say about it. Ecclesiastes is, after all, the Bible's philosophy book. And amazingly, there's a whole lot of modern philosophy referenced in this very ancient book. Still nothing new under the sun. Today, we look at scientism. But first, a quick look back at how we got here. Let's review. First was theism. God is the center of everything. Meaning comes from God. Deism. God created the world, but is hands off now. We figure it out from here. Existentialism. Since God is hands off, we have to figure out life and meaning from what exists in front of us, here and now. Nihilism. There is no God, there is no meaning. Life is pointless, everything will be annihilated, deal with it. And that's where we ended up. Which really seems like a dead end, but we can't end there. We just can't live in a world without meaning. So goes the philosophical argument whenever nihilism comes up. And for good reason. Remember, chapter 3 told us that God put eternity in the hearts of mankind. That longing for meaning was placed there by God. So you would think that mankind would maybe turn around and go back to God, the giver of meaning. But for those who don't want God, but still want meaning, another option arises. Two, in fact. The first one is scientism, or intellectualism, you might say. Scientism is not simply a belief in science, but a faith in science as our greatest source of truth. Since all this God stuff failed us, we create a new God. Human reason replaces God. The scientific method is my golden rule now. The old theistic God may or may not exist, but he or she is not scientifically provable, and so I will leave him or her out of my equations. If there is a point, I will discover it scientifically, logically, apart from God. Science will tell us morality, origin, purpose, and meaning. Scientism is quite popular today, though the term itself is actually used primarily by outsiders as a critique. Somebody who follows this philosophy doesn't generally say, "I believe in scientism," but the ideology is pushed along by well-publicized popular scientists like Richard Dawkins, Neil deGrasse Tyson, and Stephen Hawking. We talked about Stephen Hawking back in Chapter 1, but his quote is worth repeating. Hawking wrote in A Brief History of Time of his desire to discover a complete theory, that one unified theory that brings all of science and philosophy together. Hawking said, "If we find the answer to that, it would be the ultimate triumph of human reason, for then we would know the mind of God." Hawking was an atheist, by the way. He later explained that he only used the word God in a figurative sense, which is fitting for one who has replaced God with science and reason. And his ultimate goal was to reason his way to answer everything. I get it. Human reason is amazing. But like most created things, it makes for a wonderful tool, but a terrible God. Consider this quote from Neil deGrasse Tyson. "The good thing about science is that it's true whether or not you believe in it." Sounds intelligent, right? But think about it a second. You could say that about anything, if it's true. The good thing about history is that it's true whether or not you believe in it. The good thing about math or art or God, true things are true. I think he should have said, "The good thing about truth is that it's true whether or not you believe in it." Science itself is not a truth. It is a method of finding truth, and a good one at that. But the distinction is crucial. Is science always true? What if scientists don't agree? Or if the textbooks change their answers? Both happen all the time. Do we then put truth up for vote among scientists only? And what if your scientist has a hidden bias or made bad assumptions? Also happens. Even if your scientific method is true, your conclusions will still be wrong. Now, to be clear, I am not anti-science at all. I myself happen to be an engineer and scientist. I love science. I just don't worship it. My first job out of college was working on rockets, launching satellites. Turns out, most of my department were Christians. We had weekly lunchtime Bible study. And no, the rockets did not run on faith. Solomon was also a scientist, and many of history's greatest scientists have been ardent believers in God, as well as the scientific method. They just put God first. But we do have to acknowledge that the church does have a history of rejecting science and even some of its own great scientists. However, the philosophy of scientism plays on that history and works hard to paint all Christians and even all religious people as anti-science. And too often, we play into it. When we reject evolution or climate change outright without any scientific or even biblical consideration, their narrative about us looks right. The reality is that only some scientists are anti-religion, and only some religious people are anti-science. But faith and science should not be pressed as an either-or question. Either one without the other will lead to foolishness. Science needs faith, and faith needs science. Balance is key. Simple example, the origin of the universe. Skip past the evolution argument all the way back to the beginning. Can science explain how the universe came from nothing? The known scientific laws, conservation of mass, conservation of energy, tell us plainly that the universe cannot come from nothing. And yet, simple logic tells us that the universe also cannot be infinitely old. Start an infinite calendar and you'll never arrive at today. So how did it get here? It broke all the laws of science, that's how. Whether God did it or the Big Bang did it. Either way, it breaks them. And what about entropy? All systems decrease in order. That's a scientific law. So where did all the order come from? The Big Bang shoves all the scientific law breaking into one blip of a millisecond. But it still doesn't answer the plain-faced fundamental question. Where did the mass, energy, space, and order come from? Science still needs faith to find answers. But faith without science, well, that's another mess entirely, and for another episode. So where is the influence of scientism today? Well, it has its strongest hold on popular thought in countries that have become secularized, in post-Christian countries in Europe, and especially in some communist countries, where scientism is very nearly the state-backed religion. In America, it holds a very strong influence, especially in universities, but most Americans are too spiritually minded to really give in to a fully atheistic mindset. Nonetheless, its influence among college professors is strong, especially in cosmology and evolutionary thought, which is a shame for both faith and science. Students are pressed to choose between the two, and biology is forced to squeeze its theories into a system without purpose or design. The most phenomenal and complex machines in the universe are attributed to randomness and time. The word random almost replaces God in evolutionary thought. Fun fact, did you know that it is scientifically impossible to prove that an event is random? Seriously, random is not provable. That doesn't mean it isn't true, it just means you can't prove that any one thing is random. So if we can't teach God in school because God is not scientifically provable, then we should, for the same reason, also not teach random evolution, because random evolution is not scientifically provable. And if you ask me, the theory of evolution would be much more robust and useful if scientists would stop forcing random chance to fill all the gaps where purpose and design clearly belong. If you're curious, I myself believe in parts of the evolution theory. All the parts that have good scientific evidence and not the parts that are built on random chance, which is a lot.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.